Thank you, Ali.
Hello, hello, hello. Hey, welcome. Hi. Thank you all. Thank you for having us. I don't recognize any faces
at all. Not a single one of you. Which is really offensive if you're patrons.
Maybe
I don't know what they look like, but I know where they live.
Apologies, son. Thank you.
Have
you received your tote? Actually,
no. Oh, my God, stop.
Why?
I do have a tote announcement.
Is now the time?
No, you're right, you're right. Not when they can come directly at me.
No,
true,
exactly.
True, true. I'll save it for the Hive.
Now everyone really wants to know, bit of an intro. If you don't know what we do, on the off chance you don't, we're three people who are telling you stories of things that are strange. Today, our objective was food-related strangeness.
Well, murder on the menu.
Murder on the menu, yes.
Cassie did not get the food-related element and is trying to expand the remit.
It's all food.
Oh, I see.
I don't have a murder.
I'm the only one who did it well, then. You're actually absolutely right.
What's yours?
I have murderers eating.
Eating other murderers?
No, we wish.
Oh, no. Sorry, I do know what yours is.
No, I've got Last Suppers.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to tell you the story of a series of individuals who are cruelly overlooked through history of entertainment. The Regurgitators.
Yay.
Hugely important people and just completely ostracized by the circus community.
I wonder why.
Jealousy is why. Okay. Because I'm just dipping a little bit. Because what the ostrich, you ever heard of ostrich people? That's what they called them, the swallowers, sword swallow people who in and out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Kevin Kline.
In and out, and they were like, "That's great, we're all here for the in and out. You put it in, you take it out. Now we understand.
Take it out in time. Yeah.
Enter the new squad. It only comes out.
Staying in for a while,
and it's coming out.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I think you should dive straight down that esophagus and tell us what's tickling there.
I certainly will. Okay, ever heard of the name Waldo?
Yes.
Not this one. This is the great Waldo. Kind of a mute individual, maybe by choice, didn't say a lot. Incredibly lovely to look at. Very nice suit, narrow neck, lovely and clean, bespectacled. Very tight haircut, wonderful smile. The thing about this gentleman, the great Waldo, by the name of Dagobert, first name Dagobert, was one of the first regurgitators. So he discovered his technique by watching other performers in the circus, you know, the oddities, the unusual things, the stretch man, the owl head, all of these people.
My favorite, and said, I've got to get in on this.
What, did he become nauseous watching?
He was intrigued.
Oh, okay, no, he was like, what's my special thing?
Yeah, and there was a regurgitator.
Do you think he had started and he was like putting it in? He was like, oh, I failed, I'm really bad.
It's in.
Because it wasn't.
He went straight in. No messing, live rat.
No.
Brought it up the first few times dead. The next few times, alive. And he was like, I've got myself a thing going on here, lads. Straight in, down the hatch, and then straight back up again. Alive the entire time.
I actually know.
Well, are you going to? You're going to feel very ill.
It's going to be horrible.
Okay, he was a sensation, and it was obviously bad on in terms of the animal element. But he was like, I've got to ramp this up. You know, people know I can do the rat. Let's just swallow whatever you got.
Rat's quite small.
A rat's
I'm sure the
large.
Rat can reverse.
Well, that's what the thing was.
Probably like, helpful.
Are you holding the rat in some pocket beside your throat? Is there something in you that you're placing these things in? And he was like, I swear to God, I don't know how I'm doing it. This is I don't know how I'm doing it runs through these three regurgitators I'm going to tell you about. However, Dagobert, needed to kind of up his game.
Did he consider calling himself Dagobert?
Oh, no. That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Next, he was like, I'm going to do coloured balls. And everyone's like, that's grand.
With the balls.
Yeah, you build up to the rat.
All fine. And then you'd say, excuse me, the great Waldo, I'd like yellow back first, please.
No.
And he could isolate the yellow ball and bring that out first. It's unbelievable. So yes. Watches were going in, coins, rings, and he was like, okay, we need to add to the animal element. Are we doing a frog?
I think he missed the trick by not doing the frog in the throat first.
But the thing about the frogs
were... He's not good at wordplay.
No, he's not. No. He's difficult. Missing a trick.
Difficult to keep alive. He was like, I'll take a glass of water first. I'll somehow create a pocket, like a small pond within me. And then that will help in the progress up and down.
A frog is kind of pre-lubed as well.
The Great Waldo was sensational.
But you'd think you'd gag when a frog was going in. I mean,
I feel like the frog's like croaking would really fight the swallow. Mm-hmm. You'd have a battle at the back of the throat. Croak versus swallow.
Lads, they were lined up around the block. I'd say. Enter the next competitor in the regurgitation game. Oh. We're in the kind of... I always call this the Volavant time, but it wasn't.
They were fond of a Volavant.
It's called... vaudeville. Vaudeville. Remember those guys? Not Volavants at all.
It's so sad that this is pre-Pornhub.
It's absolutely the most niche Pornhub thing you could find.
Yeah.
You'd be there for a minimum 3.5 minutes.
You know,
before
I'm going to just double
the regurgitator.
Check.
You're going to get many regurgitations on Pornhub. These are going to be far more upper class. So Haji Ali, very interesting individual. Because we were back in the kind of 1870-somethings, people just ran away with themselves because he just wasn't white. So here were his many names. The Great Egyptian Miracle Man. The Amazing Regurgitator. The Egyptian Enigma. He was not Egyptian. He just went with it because he just did.
A brand's a brand.
It was easier. The Human Aquarium. The Human Volcano. Amazing. And then, not so catchy, the ninth wonder of the scientific world. He was amazing because he would drink like 100 glass. There's video of this guy as well. There's a documentary you can search. It's called Volavants. And you can see him drink 100 glasses of water. Gets all the water in. He has a lovely assistant. He's wearing the kind of what they thought was Egyptian robbery. Mm-hmm. You can imagine. 100 glasses
Native
of water
American
goes
headdress.
In. Yeah, right? And at the end, a shot of kerosene. And you're like, okay. Ooh. And then they wheel out a dollhouse in front of him. Not in front of him, 8 feet away. So he spits first the kerosene, right? Lights it on fire, ball of fire into the dollhouse on fire. Shoots from 8 feet, water next.
Puts out the fire.
Next, kerosene again. Fire again. What? It goes on way too long. But isn't that totally amazing?
That is brilliant. Incredible.
So this guy figured out that he could do this. Now, stories are all over the shop here. His daughter comes out later with a more fantastical story, but his original one sounds right. He was swimming in the Nile. Again. Unlikely. Began to get loads of water into his gob, and then was able to do this huge, like, we're talking a minute long of expulsion of water. It's like not a vomit, but yes, a vomit.
Mm. Yeah.
I'd say fully yes, a vomit.
So he was amazing and everyone was amazed by him, and then he just died of natural causes. They all seem to be not so.
All the kerosene resting in his gut.
There was a huge fight over his body because they wanted to study it to figure out how he was doing this, you know? But then eventually it just ended up rotting in a grave. So anyway, enter today. Anybody remember the name America's Got Talent? And also a performer by the name of Stevie Starr. You must have seen him, right? Another regurgitator.
Only if his audition moved me to tears. So I'm addicted to the top 10 X Factor auditions that will make you cry. And
the golden buzzers that'll make you cry. Yeah, yeah. The child stars that'll end up in rehab that'll make you cry.
I'm only ever days from my last watch of... Does anyone ever remember on the American X Factor, the girl who was deaf with the ukulele?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No Very one. Sad.
Go.
It's magical.
Run.
It really, truly is.
She got, I was about to say,
she got buzzed off.
She got the golden buzzer.
She got the golden
one. Yeah, yeah.
You see, it's difficult. It's unfair.
It's good that there was a visual element to that success.
But this is interesting you say that, because TV Star came on, of course, with a backstory.
You need one.
TV Star is still alive, touring the world at the moment. Would advise a ticket. It's amazing, but worrying as well. So anyway, he grew up in a child's home in, this is what he says, but again, I'm sure they were really Stevie, we got to get something going. Yeah. You know, whatever sadness you can retrieve
this
will be good
enough.
For us. Yeah. So he apparently used to swallow his pocket money in the child's home and then bring it up later on. No one could take it from him.
Okay.
And that's
moving
how.
Moving and disgusting.
So he comes on to America's Got Talent, Heidi Klum, blown away by him. He starts swallowing in the most amazing, because everything about his, he's a brilliant performer. And he does this kind of clicks and sounds with it, right? Mm. Gets a, what do you call those, pool balls? Not a cue, a ball.
Snooker
ball. Stuffs it into his mouth, does kind of a hit on his stomach, makes a suction noise, and it's gone.
Oh my God.
Over and over again, more and more is going in. Just anything you can imagine. And then immediately comes out, right? So he's progressing through and somehow then, what's your one? Amanda Holdman?
No, you're mixing Got Talents here.
No,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, with the blonde hair.
Maybe it was Heidi. He's got someone's wedding ring and he's like,
okay.
I have this now.
Sofia Vergara is on.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay. More than likely.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm going
two very
to... Swallow
Howard
this
Stern.
Wedding ring.
I love when Howard Stern is on the panel.
He's just a bad man,
he's
Sophie.
Not great.
He's
not
a bad
a good man.
Man.
And he's not good at makeup.
On himself?
Or surgery.
On
or hair. His styling is really way
yeah,
off.
Yeah, it's poor. It's really
yeah.
poor.
And beside Heidi, that's a harsh comparison.
Well, Stevie's not looking
Although
great
I will say,
here
Heidi
either.
Always looks astounded by the talent she's looking
she
at. And that's just the surgery
but
Botox.
She is.
She's
she
very enthusiastic and supporting.
No,
them.
She looks like she's in a particle accelerator. She's like,
oh, that's just your face shaming her. She's excited. She is. She wants excited. To be there.
Okay.
She's supporting Stevie. Stevie comes on, bejeweled jacket, shirtless beneath, hairy chest. Stomach starts moving as he's swallowing things. You can see kind of things happening. He's bringing up the balls in the color they say. Everything's going okay, but it's worrying looking.
Yeah.
He asks for a wedding ring. He takes a small locket. He unlocks it, I think, and then a key. He swallows the key. He swallows the lock, and he swallows the ring. Then he does a burpee motion, but you can see everything moving inside. Inside his stomach, he plugs the key into the padlock, opens it, hooks it around the ring, closes it, removes the key. Like he has a hand in there.
He has swallowed a small child.
Yes.
That actually could be. He's been, okay, right. So he did this and everyone was like, this is unbelievable. You have to be cheating. What is going on here? And why is everything dry? So everything that comes up is perfectly dry.
It's going into his lungs.
Oh my God. This is the tiny twin inside, like polishing things.
Yeah.
Maybe just a small toweling individual. Has he got a hole? This so everyone was like, "What's going on here? Let's get a doctor in." Enter consultant David Smithart.
What if your man has lined the interior of his mouth with a cleanse-off mitt?
The dry element isn't the most amazing element.
Is it not? Okay, yeah, you're right. I am becoming hyper-focused on the least interesting
part. I think
part.
You'd expect there to be like some sort
acid
of
spit.
Definitely
yeah.
scum.
It's perfectly dry.
Of sorts.
So anyway, enter David, what's his name? Dr. David Smithard, the chairman of the UK Swallowing Research Group.
Right. He's
so he's a group of one, is it?
I'll tell you what Dr. David said. Haven't a clue what's going on here. Not a clue. They put him in a scanner. They confirmed there was no ulterior pocket
Give
or
the man
stomach.
A camera to swallow.
Oh, that would be a very yeah. good... That's not
Dr.
been done,
Sophie
that I know.
Dr. Sophie, I'm going to join that society.
So we confirmed there's no secondary stomach. He must be doing this. Then Nick Fists Herbert of the Illusionists Association, the Magic Circle, pipes up.
Yeah.
And he's like, Stevie Starr is 100% doing this. This is an ability. It is magic. And there is no cheating whatsoever involved.
Yeah.
And to this day, nobody has ever been able to find any way that he is literally doing this.
Yeah.
How
it's
amazing
his innate
is this?
This
God-given talent, just like
yeah.
Susan Boyle.
The thing about it is...
Did he win? Did he win America?
Came fourth.
Came fourth.
Which
ridiculous.
Is bad.
He locked a lock in his stomach
he did
around
do that.
A ring with and a tiny key and he came fourth.
A person who won had a much sadder story.
A child with a ukulele.
It was a deaf child with a ukulele. Yeah. But he...
Is there any way that it's a person with like a floppy arm? Listen.
Fetus
and long, feeding. Floppy arm
yes.
that can be fed up... Up.
You never think of up.
And through, what is our, you
lower,
know, our like in lower intestines like 19 miles long.
I
it's
think
a very
so.
Long floppy arm.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
You'd be hard pushed to do that in there with one hand blindfolded one in the first place. It's an incredible skill.
Thing to do with two hands.
Stevie Sturr,
I would say double jointed minimum.
His teeth are not in a good way. That's one thing I will say. Looks like visually like that's the bit of him that we can see that might be hurt by what he's doing. Okay. But emotionally, he seems strong. He's touring the world for 20 years. He's 50 years old, fully formed, living the dream. I'm 100% going to one of his shows, should he ever do one in Ireland.
Is it like a 90-minute show?
I think so. He will swallow everything that's here. And the bringing it back up motion is just a delight. You think he might die? He doesn't.
He swallowed the nightlight holder. It'll come back up candlelit.
They all did the swallowing. The every single one of them did the swallowing the cigarette lit.
Well, I have found on Pornhub a niche that is unfilled.
Go on. It's not there.
Now,
you are going to get the circular block.
I actually was highly, highly aware that you were sitting there.
Switched off.
Operating the sound deck there.
Can he see your search?
And he would have known that, like, I had to enter. So swallow, live, and animal all returned very graphic results, as you saw. Add vomit, no results.
I think they're censoring
guys.
The regurgitation is
the
final frontier.
I just showed
that
to the baby. That feels bad.
She's shocked.
Anyway. She's only ever a few minutes from the latest vomit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to link
that's the story.
Empty niche with anybody's child.
Okay. Now that we found a niche, we must immediately fill it. Yes. I will regurgitate a dildo into you any day.
No, you need live animal.
A live one?
Yeah.
I'll find it.
I think a fish would be fine.
They all did fish, up and down and up and down, alive the entire time. The things
so
they've seen
where
so
your mind
early.
Goes.
I know, it's like, would you ever see fish, like, they're just having such a shit buzz in the goldfish bowl that I imagine being
sweet
on
relief.
Stage, being recognized for the talented fish that you are,
sweet relief.
Offering something to the world in terms of entertainment, and then just down the hatch and back up would be a small
no
price
harm.
To pay.
No,
a day out.
Day out
for them.
I don't think you'd be accepted
they wouldn't
back
remember.
Into your fish community, though, after that. Like, really selling out.
Yes, yeah. The fish community would turn on them.
Totally gone. Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Thank
welcome.
You, Jen.
Don't forget to Google volivants of the previous centuries.
Be careful what you Google there with this swallowing things and bringing it back up very quickly. I'd say that does.
Two girls, one goldfish. Mm. Three girls, one goldfish.
Absolutely not.
Fine.
Please never include me in anything like that ever again.
Fine.
Okay, I have found one of the greatest stories I've ever found for the Creep Dive. And personally, just really enjoyed this. It is a society of women who came together, operated as a community to kill the men.
Oh! Yes. But not well. Men here.
I mean
who are happily still with us
beautiful.
And doing well.
So it happened in central Hungary. It was a farming town in the southeast of Budapest, around 800 people, okay? And we're back in the early 1900s.
My
so
favourite.
Just pre-World War I. Shit's about to hit the fan and the women are living in poverty. Just not happy, do you know? Very, very simple community. But one thing it really lacked, this one town that's called Nagriev. Right? And now I looked up the pronunciation of that on YouTube, so don't fucking come at me.
I'm not coming anywhere.
Nagirev.
Nagirev.
Right? Yeah. I'm not going to say it very often because it's stressful. One thing they didn't have was a resident doctor, which can lead to all types of trouble. Mm. So,
but a doctor in the 1900s brings more trouble than he alleviates, I think.
100%.
They were like, arsenic. Have this... Yeah. Arsenic for your common cold.
So in 1911...
Arsenic,
do you know what they call arsenic?
The
inheritor's powder.
The man...
Say that
the
again.
The inheritor's powder.
Oh!
I love that. I think that's poetic.
The inheritor's powder.
I was like, husband's candy.
So in 1911, a woman named Susanna Freakaz came to town.
Freakaz!
I'm not doing it again. Don't question me. We're in front of a crowd, okay? It takes so much energy for me to be here.
Okay. See, you're all a drain on caffeine.
I'm just very introverted and there's a lot
form
of
a line to apologize to
a lot
to
of
her.
Eyes here. We started a podcast because there was three people in a room and here we are.
Here we are.
Within 15 years, she became one of Europe's most infamous women. She was a midwife. Yeah. So like they had in the space where the doctor wasn't, everyone would go to the midwife for medical advice, and the women
as it should be.
And the women started turning to her, and you know, she solved a lot of their problems, and the town became, the women of the town became known as the angel makers. Poetry.
I love the branding on that.
So the angel makers.
Yeah, we're not the husband killers, but the angel makers. Yeah. And all these husbands are not living men, they are pre-corpses.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So I
angels
think
you're in waiting.
You're going to be, we're all going to walk out of here angel makers, like hand in hand. R.I.P. D8. When Susanna arrived, she raised a few eyebrows because her husband had disappeared under mysterious circumstances. But she had great recommendations from women as a midwife.
Five stars!
10 out of 10, would recommend to a friend. Nobody.
The Yelp review from the women and the help review from the men.
Nice.
Yeah. So midwives in the early 1900s were like regarded in a kind of respected way, especially coming from like, history has generally regarded midwives very favorably. Like in ancient Egypt, they were, it was widely recognized as an occupation. In Roman times, it was a
we like recognize this as an occupation.
For women, which yes, would have been like, you know, it was a very female dominated thing, which was unheard of, right? Until it got to the stage where midwifery became associated with witchcraft. And so they kind of like went through, you know.
Yes.
The ages of like people love the midwives and they fear them.
Oh,
then
yeah.
They kind of
like Katy
Perry. Back again. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of ups and downs there, but always around.
Yes, always there, ever present.
Ever present.
Yeah.
Perennial Perry. And perineal.
Works.
Works.
But for the women of this town, Susanna was a friend, right? Hungary in the 1910s was like political upheaval, crushing poverty, no options for women. It was really badly hit by the First World War. 9 million men in the Hungarian Empire had been drafted, and like there was just so many deaths. Most marriages... Oh, at the time, this was the interesting thing. So at the time, marriages were arranged. So teenage girls married off to the older bachelors.
Hollywood.
Yeah, with their parents' consent. They had no say. Divorce wasn't legal, even if the marriage was abusive. So for many women, they were left loveless in fraught marriages with men who were they were often afraid of. And that was before they were sent off to fight in the war. When they came back from the war, a lot of them had PTSD, which wasn't recognized as a kind of thing at the time. So they were dealing with, you know, a lot of trauma. Some of them were physically injured. So women were just, these men became very dependent of the women in this town. But while the men were off in war, this particular town became a holding camp for Allied prisoners. So the Allied prisoners of war. So these men were sent to work in the farms that were left behind by the local men after they were drafted. Some became so imperative to village life that they started romantic relationships with the married women who'd been left behind by their...
Widowed.
Not even widowed, but like... Paused. They were married men who were forced into marriage, and their men had been sent away for a couple of years. Then these young, handsome soldiers arrive into
town. Dick-hungry women.
They're working around. So some women took on...
Hungry.
Four to five... says 4 to 5 lovers at a time.
Wow! In one go!
Yeah, right? Well, I don't know.
That's a lot. You'd need a key element of regurgitator. You'd need a regurgitator for that one.
You need a lot, right? But this is where Susanna came into her own, because from 1911 to 1921, she started performing illegal abortions on the women to help them out. And she was arrested at least 10 times, but every time the judges let her go, they were sympathetic to the women and to the work that they were doing, right? So after the war, all these men returned back to the village, and they were just
too many men.
They were shit before, and they were awful then after. Yeah. Like, okay, obviously the PTSD is not their fault, but like, it's a very hard time. But like, you can picture it. You know, you've got a much older man. He can't do anything. He's shouting at you. You know, he's demanding his regurgitation, like, it's just it's a lot of pressure on these women, and they turn to Susanna for help. because they had gotten used to like talking to Susanna about their problems, and they'd all become friendly. And she said, if there is a problem, I have a simple solution. Simple.
Yeah, she was like the Miss Fix It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy, the Jimmy Savile of her era. Maybe not. Maybe.
No.
Maybe less.
We went too far.
Why do you have to bring Jimmy Savile into
everything? He's everything. Just always there on the tip of my tongue.
Jen's like, I can't believe I can't find a rapport with the other moms in the playground.
Do you remember Jimmy Savile? Gas.
Mad.
Doesn't go down. Hit and miss. When it's a hit, though.
Yeah, your kid looks like Jimmy Savile.
I do. One of mine does look a little Jimmy.
Do you remember Arlo had that face, too?
Yep. Carry on, Cass.
Great stuff. the solution, obviously, was arsenic, made by boiling flypaper, skimming off the poisonous residue.
Flypaper?
Yeah, interesting. So flypaper.
Do you know, if you got
arsenic.
50 apple seeds.
You'd get some.
You could, or like cherry pips. Did you know that? Don't swallow any. I think if you swallow 5, you're absolutely dead. also bananas.
Dr. Jen.
200 bananas.
Dr.
Will
fisted
kill you.
Over there.
Really?
In one day.
Or 200.
No, you have to like put those banana skins in the oven.
Oh,
and
it's
like
a whole thing.
Dry them.
There's no high attached to it.
No, and it's the equivalent of like a single cigarette.
Probably in terms of how bad it is.
200 bananas.
So where? Tell me about the flypaper. 200 bananas. Here we go again.
Or just you're talking about regurgitation and 200 bananas, and I'm having like really just not nice thoughts. so the solution, arsenic, right? Arsenic was so easy to come by back then. You could walk in. You just walked in anywhere. You're like, I've got to kill some rats, and they would give you arsenic. A child could walk into a shop and walk away with arsenic. It was like a tuppence. It was so cheap. And the thing about arsenic was, the symptoms were so similar to cholera. So like vomiting, abdomen pain, diarrhea, skin discoloration.
So it's, no
it's
questions
a hangover,
asked.
Like, yeah, it's just
a hangover.
need a Rubex.
Yeah. No, generally no questions asked, especially in a town when they don't have a fucking doctor. Like, yeah. No one's asking questions, right?
That's what I was going to say. Like, murdering in the 1900s. Piece of piss. Like, I'm sorry, but like,
right?
Definitely low effort, I'd say here.
One paper cut, an infection, yeah. And you're finished.
Gone.
And like, post-18, like, you die. People are like,
you've had a good life.
Yeah.
So all the women turning to Susanna. The first death was like on the down low, really quiet, right? A woman came, and a woman named Mrs. Takas came.
First name, Mrs. Love it.
Yeah. She wanted to keep her identity. Secret, obviously.
No suicidal.
So she had enough of her shit husband, right? Brutish and alcoholic. She slipped the arsenic into her husband's meal and waited. Worked as planned. Husband passed away. Everyone was like, very sad he had a heart attack.
Grant.
Very good, right? So word of the secret murder began to spread amongst the wives. Women began to come to Susanna for the arsenic that would release them from their unhappy marriages. She started selling bottles of the poison for money. She began persuading women to poison their husbands, promising them that the arsenic was untraceable in the body. And she also, she brought on some staff. She had a little assistant who used to fill out death certs that obscured the cause of death. She herself poisoned her much older husband when she was 18.
I love obscured the cause of death. Do you think
yeah.
she did like a little hangman?
Heart attack.
Under cause of death. You do the vowels first.
But the thing is, right, you give a people an inch, they take a mile, right? So word spread fast and the bodies started like really piling up. Husbands, soon the women were just like anyone who was an inconvenience. It's like, do you want a cup of tea? God, right?
The lad trying to change your electricity provider.
So God. Annoying. Dead.
Always Brilliant. At dinner/bedtime.
Yes.
No one asking any questions.
No questions. We get to a point where there was a lot of men missing. But they started turning on anyone who pissed them off, anyone who was in any way dependent, elder family members.
I'd say the last parents. To go were the gravediggers.
Yeah, yeah, but they were necessary. Needed.
Yeah, exactly.
Some children that they didn't get on with.
Oh, God. That can be fierce, annoying.
Colicky.
one woman was just like, why would you put up with these people when you have arsenic?
That's fair.
Why bother?
Yeah.
Get rid of them, right?
Yeah.
So some places estimate that there were actually 300 murders that took place in this town.
And the 800.
Over, like, you know, a kind of 20, 30-year period, right? One woman, Palinka, only wanted to poison her husband at first, but it worked so well that she went on to murder her parents, her two brothers, her sister-in-law, her aunt, and...
very addictive.
It's a job loss.
It is.
Yeah. It's a And she ended up living in a house with two and a half acres of land all to herself.
Oh, stunning.
Oh, it's a dream.
Stunning. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a dream. Do you imagine the chickens
in need of modernization? Or was it...
She was quite happy.
Turnkey.
She would... Oh, so this was really fucked up, right? This was
here we go. This is a bad part.
Palinka used to give her victims just a little bit of arsenic.
She liked to watch.
Just a little bit. No, she'd give them a little bit, right? And they'd start dying or convulsing or having the pains. And she'd be like, oh, come here, I'll go into town and I'll get you a bottle of medicine. And she'd go and she'd pick up this expensive bottle of medicine that she had switched out and filled with arsenic, and then she would spoon them the arsenic, them
while
believing the medicine was
going to
make them better. Yeah.
That's mean.
Pervy Palinka.
Another woman, Maria Cardos, killed her husband. She had taken up with a 23-year-old lover, and she was really into him, didn't want her husband anymore, killed her husband 5 years later.
Killed the lover.
Yeah. It was just, another woman, Maria, killed her husband because he was blind.
Surely she knew that when he married. She married him.
No, he was
hard
blinded,
to disguise.
Blinded
oh, after
in
the war. I see.
Yeah. Came back. He didn't see that coming. Oh, that was a problem.
Sorry.
Couldn't. Came out of me.
It's good that you. I was about to say something worse, so you took that from me.
What was the worst?
Well, like, she could have just brought him somewhere and, you know.
Got him confused in Dundrum Town Shopping Centre and just left. Left him there.
Like, she's a bad person, not us.
They are
Let's
all
focus
bad.
Focus on who the bad person is.
Yeah.
Maria.
People.
Yeah. Another woman, Juliana, who killed her husband on Christmas Eve, just in his little, you know, Christmas Eve drink, was like, here you go. Knock it back. Dead on Christmas Day. What a present to yourself.
Absolutely.
So it's really
and every year, like, you'd have, you know, you could celebrate under the guise of Christmas celebrations.
Your freedom.
Yeah. Your murderversary.
Yeah, it's like, yes,
do you think they have that?
Dead.
I'm sure.
They do, probably.
Oh, we could just ask.
Yeah.
Cassie?
So back to the angel makers. Again, just couldn't you imagine them with, like, the puffer jackets? Like, they're pink. They're, like, supporting. It's like very First Wives Club.
Yes.
Where, like, you know, a light-filled room, oak floors, lots of plants.
Yeah.
They're all like, oh.
Do they not start turning on each other?
No.
Did
so the way they got discovered, it's unclear.
Was kind of, you know,
you'd be very careful what you'd bring.
Angel
to
makers code.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And you're not gonna. I mean,
I'd like to dust scones with it.
Oh, that'd be nice.
You know, like a little icing sugar finish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't start. They must have had some code of conduct because they didn't start killing each other.
You know, she was dishing out her specially branded medicine, must have had a few words of advice. You know what I mean?
I think her words of advice were literally go off and kill your husband.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think she was very much like, I've done it. Worked out great. Yeah. Look at me.
Don't lick your fingers clean after you do this.
Yeah. Put your contact lenses in beforehand.
And your tampon.
Yeah.
Very rapidly absorbed down there.
So it's unclear kind of how they got found out, but they did. So one person claims that a medical student in a neighbouring town found
the
body.
Are all like, my mates are dying.
No, they didn't seem to put two and two together.
They didn't. And they were like, maybe they didn't miss them. Maybe they were like
less men, more poonanny or something. that's how the men folk might think.
Ah, poonanny.
Sorry.
Thanks for bringing it back into our lives. Some more tang.
I have a small understanding of the others.
Maybe. So apparently, a body washed up in a riverbank, and a medical student found the body and discovered really high levels of arsenic. Another person, a historian, says The murders became public when an anonymous letter to a local newspaper accused the women of mass murder. What a witch hunt. They're like, the women are killing the men. Well, anyway, they did exhume 50 corpses.
Wow.
46 of them.
Wow.
Contained arsenic. Very high levels of arsenic. So that's it. I mean, that's a really high success rate.
Did Schitzberg get fingered?
So no. So
what was her name again?
When the police came to Fazex, when they came to arrest Susanna, she was already dead, having taken some of her own poison.
What?
20. She knew they were coming. She was like, "Fuck this! I might have had a great time."
Yeah. arsenic, nah, not a nice way.
Probably not a nice way to go. But anyway,
there's no good way.
No.
26
stay.
Women.
Don't do it.
Just
there
stay.
There is no good
just
way. Stay. It really isn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, 26 women eventually stood trial for the murders. Motives varied. Their crimes became the stuff of like local myth and legend. They were some women just were like, oh, I was just sick of them. they were reported as seeming absolutely unrepentant in the stand. Nay, a little bit bored. and they were like, yeah, we did.
We did.
They had no sense of like that they were, you know, that this was a monstrous misdeed.
They were performing a public service.
Yeah, eventually 8 of the Angel Makers were sentenced to death, but only 2 were executed. 12 got prison sentences, but a lot of women fucking got away with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I love it.
Thank you for the Angel Maker. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
I want that movie.
What movie?
I think there is.
That
there is
movie
a
book. Starring, I'm going to say, Isabella Rossellini as the midwife. I basically want to transplant a lot of the cast of Death Becomes Her and the First Wives Club, and there is crossover there.
There's a lot of crossover
into
there.
This movie,
it
The Angel Makers.
Exist.
And that would be amazing. And Bruce Willis could be head of the husbands.
No, you got to throw in. You got to throw in the Witches of Eastwick as well.
Yeah,
sure.
And Practical Magic.
Sure.
Who?
Sure.
Sure. Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. I've heard of her. Sure. I realize it's Cher. I think is it? Is that what we're saying?
It's Cher.
Yes. Okay.
Sure.
Okay. I have worst dinner party ever. So initially I was like, has anyone ever seen the one with Cameron Diaz where they're constantly throwing dinner parties and very much like the Angel Makers. They're just inviting annoying people to then... The Last Supper?
Yeah,
The Last Supper.
Out
of
the corpses. Here?
So this is just a movie that starts with a group of like, I mean, really annoying people themselves. They're kind of like pre-hipsters. And Cameron Diaz is one of them. And basically the first, like they have this dinner party and this guy comes and he's like the kind of 90s equivalent of a Trump supporter. And they
what is
accidentally
that?
Kill him.
Just a shit guy.
Yeah, just a shit person. Shit voice. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring that up. I'm so sorry.
Somebody reviewed something Cassie did. And the review.
I did. I only did the voiceover.
And the review is just like
shit voice.
And we know she is dulcet tones Delaney.
That's the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It is. It was funny because it's not true.
Throwaway Jen, 1962.
Carry on.
Okay. So I was like, other bad dinner parties. And that led me to the Bon Appetit subreddit.
Ooh.
That is one of the most sincere places on the internet. And
for a while.
I got really sucked into this absolute saga about a Friendsgiving that took place in 2017, and it was really like going deep into this friend group that, so back in July, their friend T had decided that he wanted to throw the Friendsgiving, and so nobody heard any more from T about Friendsgiving. October, November rolls around, and the author of this post said, he had said nothing, so I decided I'm gonna do it. Spent weeks planning, figuring out my parts of the menu, making sure my vegan friend will have something to eat. Well, 2 days beforehand, T, who was invited, by the way, throws a hissy fit and says he wanted to have Friendsgiving, despite having done exactly zero work on it. And again, mentioning it in July and never again. Well, my friend E, who I do love and had done some of the planning slash inviting with me, very tactfully, not tactfully at all. Remember, this is the Bon Appetit subreddit. Tells T.
This is where you go for this drama. This is,
I know. What's that? It's like the interiors decorating Facebook pages that Sophie Hagen frequents, and they're absolutely fucking gold. She shares Twitter threads. You know, Sophie Hagen, the comedian, of people posting their interiors ideas on these Facebook pages, and then just the fucking trashed takedowns the other Facebookers do is fucking unholy. Like, but anyway, back to Bon Appetit. So, basically, they had to. So he went into a deep tantrum for 2 days. Says he's not coming on the day of Thanksgiving. So it's Friendsgiving, Thanksgiving. They have to have a special. So they all know each other because there's like a mutual band. I can just so picture this happening in Portlandia. Yeah. You know that TV show. So anyway, they have to have a band meeting to talk T down. And then the author of this has to text him to apologize for something I didn't even do while running around trying to get everything ready, I might add, including making my first turkey and very carefully trying to not cross-contaminate stuff in our small kitchen with no counter space for vegan friend.
Oh my God, give this man some fucking arsenic.
OP needs a fucking shot of arsenic up the key.
And a regurgitator. Yeah. What a party.
Just get her from both angles.
Dead, not dead.
Spit roast dead with arsenic. Yeah. Okay, so T eventually shows up with, all caps, frozen pizza rolls. His other friend has bought one, it's repeated, packet of Trader Joe's microwavable jasmine rice, which is very random. And so E and her boyfriend were supposed to bring the baked asparagus, Peking duck and a bread and butter pudding, but wound up bringing raw asparagus that I then had to make room in the oven for, and I think maybe some cheese and crackers. The turkey was fine, not great. Our vegan pal and her boyfriend never showed up.
Oh, crushing.
Crushing. Crushing. Then the answers to this on the Bon Appetit thread, which is priceless, loads of people just ignoring the original post and just posting things like, I made Claire's focaccia, but I turned it into a garden focaccia. And there's like a picture attached, and it was somebody who'd done flowers with like asparagus and different bits of food into a garden scene.
I love the art focaccia.
Yeah, yeah. Love the first name basis that Claire is on with this poster.
Oh, people would have died for the Bon Appetit test kitchen.
Here's a person directly replying to the saga and being like, shit happens. You live and you learn. You live and you learn, Brad. The key is to understand what went wrong and never to do it again. I've made so many mistakes in the past 10 years that I'm ashamed of looking back, including undercooking a brisket. Undercooking 65 degrees Celsius eggs by 10 degrees Celsius.
Idiot.
And spoiling many other dishes, but I have learned so much along the way. Last person, I decided to make a croque en bouche the very same day on top of hand-making ravioli. The ravioli made it. The croque en bouche, not so much.
What the hell is that?
It's like the stacked profiteroles, you know, into the big, yeah.
Why? It's an artful display of profiteroles.
There was like more Last Suppers. This is a great theme. Beautiful. And then was like, what about the lastest supper of them all? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. What was it?
Well, I was like, betcha there'll be loads of interesting facts about the Last Supper. No, there is not. Absolutely not. Nothing that we don't know already. But I did have fun telling Seb, my Jewish husband, about the Last Supper. I don't know any Mother of Pod crossover listeners here might remember the time that we had to explain the nativity to Seb. So, like, basically, he was like, well, so the children are reenacting a labor and a birth? Yeah. And it's like bestiality elements.
Yeah, there's a donkey.
Three men just coming and paying in gifts to watch. Yeah. There was just so many unusual elements. One seen through the eyes of Seb and the Jesus denier.
Yeah.
Well, they believe that Jesus was a guy. They just don't believe that he is who he says he was.
Did he even say he was?
He did many times. Yes. I am the Son of God.
I am the Son of God.
And then I was thinking, how annoying, like infuriating to be at a dinner party with someone who was insisting they were the Son of God. And just making everything about them.
Yeah.
Like, imagine the other apostles are just trying to catch up, have a catch up. And Jesus is there, like...
Holding court.
Same old shite.
Drink my blood.
Yeah. Yes. Everyone's like, oh, Jesus is... Have it again. They're like, you will devour my flesh. And not just tonight, but every night hereafter that you ever have a bit of Brennan's.
Maniacal.
Or a host. That's my flesh and my blood ruining wine forever.
But it's free.
I do imagine him quoting Lizzo when breaking the news to the other apostles and being like, guys, Peter, Thomas, Simon the Zealot, everyone, I just want to say I'm not a snack at all. Look, baby, I'm the whole damn meal.
Way!
So awkward eating imagine someone in their
instead
presence.
Instead of being like, just imagine I am, he arrived nude, just like the old sushi girls.
Yes.
And was the table.
Yeah, just a lobster, like a lobster fucking, what's that thing called?
Loin of pork
like
soaps, a loin
of
pork.
Like a cock helmet. What is it called again?
Cod piece.
Cod piece.
Yes. Cock helmet.
Okay. I'll take us out with some last meals of our... faves.
The old killers of yore.
The old killers of yore. So everyone knows about the kind of Last Supper before execution buzz.
And why does it exist?
It's one last bit of niceness. Before.
It's just in case they're innocent. Do you think it's like a...
I have a theory about it that is like, so executions used to be this big spectacle that we could all go and watch. And when they took that away and they made it like a private... thing, I feel like they still needed to give us something. So this was a kind of a detail that could be released to the media that we could all kind of like chew on.
Interesting.
Maybe?
Yep.
Or like maybe to just distract from the fact that like the Final Solution's alive and well and happening in where else? The States? Sorry. To the Americans, of which there's a growing listenership.
Yeah,
so
sorry.
We need to mind our manners.
No, but anyway, they love it.
Did you know this is interesting? Yeah. I never knew this, right? That apparently the warden of the prison will come and eat the final meal with the prisoner. I don't know if anyone's ever heard that before.
Absolutely mad. Really?
I always thought they were just eating it on their own with a book.
Yeah.
Is that why? Why would that
former
be?
Former warden here has
former
confirmed.
Warden. You're not hiding it well, sir.
I'm just picturing, do you remember Dr. Chilton from Silence of the Lambs? Absolutely insufferable, but excellently played by that guy.
But so, regardless of whether...
Dr. Chilton playing himself. I just feel like, imagine you have to have your last meal with this fucker.
Yeah. You know? Hang on a sec. If you were the warden and you were like, every fucking Friday...
Very rich food.
Yeah.
Another steak, is it?
But the conversation.
Yeah.
Boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's called euphemistically the special meal, and they're not allowed booze or smokes, not usually. Oh. And sometimes if there is like an unorthodox request, other meals will be substituted. So famously, this real fucking dickhead asked for a child. And they did not supply the child.
I mean, it's a ballsy move.
Much like the Tesco shop, they substituted in the closest thing, which was a pork loin. I've made the last bit up. But they did basically...
Who was it?
He was a bit of a nobody.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Like, you know...
He just wanted to go out with a bang.
Yeah. So the food had to be purchased locally. And there was a budget... But it was only instated after a few years when people were really taking the piss. And in Oklahoma, scabby shites, only $15.
Ooh.
Yeah. Basically, they could sometimes ask to share the meal with another inmate, which I feel like would be a really good opportunity to settle up prison scores.
Yeah.
Because obviously you have cutlery, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Or bring your own shiv. Anyway, in 2011, the state of Texas finally just got rid of the whole fucking thing after this prick white supremacist called Lawrence Russell Brewer really pulled the piss with his requests. And then when the meal arrived, said he wasn't hungry. And I need to give you a little rundown of his. And it is epic. It takes up about half a page of this document. Where is it now? Hang on.
What would you
be? Big Mac.
A Big Mac.
Okay, yeah. Here we go. You're not far off. 2 chicken fried steaks with gravy and sliced onions. A triple patty bacon cheeseburger. A cheese omelette with ground beef, tomatoes, onions, bell peppers and jalapenos. A bowl of fried okra with ketchup. 1 pound of barbecue meat with a half a loaf of white bread. 3 fully loaded fajitas. A meat lover's pizza. 1 pint of bluebell vanilla ice cream. A slab of peanut butter fudge with crushed peanuts on top. And 3 root beers.
And he didn't touch any of it.
He didn't go near any of it.
No, he was trolling them. It arrived and he said, not hungry. And he didn't eat it. And the meal was discarded, prompting State Senator John Whitmore to end the 87-year-old tradition in the very definition of why we can't have nice things.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that is really ruining the fun for
really
everyone else.
Wrecking the buzz. But some other people did get some good crack in before Lawrence wrecked the buzz. And I will say Lawrence Russell Brewer, heinous individual who horrifically murdered a black man along with 2 other white supremacists and in an unspeakable set of circumstances. So real prick. Glad he's dead.
Yeah.
Peter Curtin of Germany. You might know him as the vampire of Dusseldorf.
Oh! Ooh.
I know, he's saucy. He's just a saucy guy. And committed a series of murders and sexual assaults. Back in 1929, so everyone's dead.
We'll never describe someone as saucy in the same way again.
Something, a little je ne sais quoi.
He just rapes and murders people.
So
no big deal.
He was obviously murdered, which was great. And his last meal was, he had been described saucy, got nothing on this. King of the sex perverts.
Oh.
By a guy called Carl Berg, who have no idea who that is, and I love to imagine that he might have just been like a vox pop on Grafton Street for like the Late Late Show in 1987. Carl Berg, thoughts on Peter Curtin?
King of the sex perverts.
Yes.
Rather a prince.
Himself a wiener schnitzel, fried potatoes, and a bottle of white wine? Asked for seconds. Got it. Yeah. Next, I do have this guy who's really famously cited, but he's a bit of a nobody now. His name's Robert Anthony Boole. I feel like my best shade to these people is just being like nobody. Another nobody here.
Yeah.
Murderer, serial rapist, serial killer. He was executed by lethal injection, and his final meal, he requested a single black unpitted olive.
A sociopath! What did he do with it?
Truly fucked up.
He regurgitated it. I picture him
like doing a kind of try to catch it in his and then
missing.
It hitting off his mouth, rolling out under a door.
And that's the end of that.
Yes. Truly the apt comeuppance for all his murdering. Okay, Robert Dale Conklin, another nobody, but he did go quite high end with the last meal, filet mignon, wrapped in bacon, deveined shrimp sautéed in garlic butter with a lemon. This guy had seen Silence of the Lambs, I think. A baked potato with butter, sour cream, chives, and real bacon bits, corn on the cob, asparagus with hollandaise sauce, French bread with butter, goat's cheese, cantaloupe, apple pie with vanilla bean ice cream, and an iced tea. Ted Bundy. Always has to be special. Bundy declined a special meal, so he was given, but did not eat, the traditional steak, medium rare, eggs over easy, hash browns, toast, milk, coffee, juice, butter, and jelly. John Wayne Gacy, who we know is Pogo the Clown, or Patches the Clown, he could never settle on it, a murderer of boys and men, an absolute, I won't say that, but horrible man. Mm. I was about to be like very bold man.
Yeah, no.
I was going to call him a cocksucker. That's bad. A deep fried shrimp, a bucket of original recipe Kentucky Fried Chicken, French fries, a pound of strawberries, and a bottle of Diet Coke. Timothy McVeigh, another head wrecker. Masterminded, as we know, the Oklahoma bombing. Is it weird that I love his choice? 2 pints of mint choc chip ice cream.
Ooh.
No. One and only good decision the guy made. This guy, another real fancio, Thomas Grasso. Oh, God, this guy. Strangled an elderly woman using her own Christmas lights. Oh. I always feel when la you la use la the
la
person...
La 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 la.
Leave her with it, Cassie. Don't say anything.
I can't. There's no words.
2 dozen steamed mussels. 2 dozen steamed clams.
It's too many mussels.
A double cheeseburger. It's too many.
It is.
Tomorrow's listeners of Mother of Pod, we thank you for your support.
You can overdose on mussels.
There is some serious mussel chat. Half a dozen barbecue spare ribs, 2 strawberry milkshakes, 1/2 a pumpkin pie with whipped cream with diced strawberries, and a 16-ounce can of spaghetti with meatballs served at room temperature.
Why?
I know.
He was lowering himself into that.
He later complained.
He was. He absolutely was.
He later complained that he did not get his SpaghettiOs.
Yeah.
And he wanted the press. I want the press to know this, he said. So this now, another major one. Carl Gary Simmons Jr. He really, eyes bigger than belly. Pizza Hut Supreme Deep Dish Pizza with double mushrooms, double onions, double jalapeno peppers, and double pepperoni. A second pizza with 3 cheeses, olives, bell peppers, tomatoes, garlic, and Italian sausage. 10 8-ounce packs each of Parmesan cheese.
Ten packets of Parmesan cheese.
A hard cheddar, just grated, yeah.
10 cups of ranch. He was tossing a Caesar salad in his stomach and leaving out the iceberg. 8 ounces of jalapeno nacho cheese.
Wow!
That's the saucy.
Yeah, that's
another
the yellow
saucy
sauce.
One. 4 ounces of sliced jalapenos. This is heartburn central.
I cannot.
And it's the last time that you could have a meal like this.
There's just
without
no
worry.
Way that they're not riding all the food. You cannot possibly eat, you know, think, be in their mind. They're like, what is the best food to get involved with? There's no
what?
Way.
No.
They're on, Cassie.
No.
You think this man
you're
is
like,
fucking jalapeno
this guy,
cheesy
sauce?
Yeah.
I do.
Or he does.
I do think he is.
This guy has a family-sized bag of Doritos nacho cheese flavor. What, using it as a fleshlight?
Perhaps.
So
sorry,
crunchy
Dorito
and grating.
Dorito dust on your dick is not going to be the way you want to go
you
out.
You don't
this
have
world.
A dick.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
It feels amazing.
We do have Peter Minal, 20 beef tacos, 20 beef enchiladas, 2 double cheeseburgers, a pizza with jalapenos, fried chicken, spaghetti with salt, 1/2 of a chocolate cake, 1/2 of a vanilla cake, cookies and cream ice cream, a pecan fudge pie, a small fruit cake, just a taster, 2 Coca-Colas, 2 Pepsi Colas, that's bizarre, 2 root beers and 2 orange juices, I have thoughts. Too many...
Liquid.
Beverages.
Yeah.
It's going to fill you up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to really
Which,
go
you
dry.
Be when you're electrocuted, is weeing as you're doing it and then just conduct it right out of your body. And then you're fine.
Yeah.
You're survived.
I like it.
This is a luminous electrical orange juice coming out of
you. Okay. I did find a study of last meals. Its origins have been questioned by peers in the science community or the sociology community, but I'm disregarding that. So they analysed 247 last meals, all ordered on death row, yeah, obviously. And basically the average meal came in at 2,756 calories. So that's obviously
you were
kind
say
of
dollars.
More than...
I was outraged.
Taxpayers' money. So that's obviously average what most of us eat in a day, more or less, unless it's a great day. And then there was also 4 requests from Texas that went beyond the 7,000 calorie mark. Ambitious.
Texas.
There was also a lot of deep fried elements, which there's some kind of gag in there. But they don't reuse the chair anymore. So 70% of the prisoners asked for fried food. Many requested specific brands. Coca-Cola were requested by 16%. So sad, my pal Diet Coke only requested 3 times.
Oh.
I know, sad. Comfort food, very popular, obviously, I guess. Lots of KFC and Mackey D's. The sociologists were like, they're ordering comfort food because they're in an incredibly high-stress situation. Like, yeah. I could have come to that conclusion, I think, really. So I think as well, like, the sheer quantity and stuff, like, I would often partake of a Magnum and a second.
Yes.
Right after. And it has this great kind of, like, numbing effect.
Well, that's it. You're so full, you want to die.
Yeah. But you're also maybe just sampling a little bit of everything. Like, yeah, you kind of like choose one thing.
So hard to narrow it down.
I would have a chicken and mushroom pie for sure, though. Mm.
I will leave you with a final fun fact, which was that a former inmate in a Texan prison, as part of his incarceration duties, worked at the kitchen and prepared a lot of the last meals. And not to let an opportunity pass him by, he released a cookbook in 2004 called Meals to Die For.
Oh,
well done, Brian D. Price.
Well done. Thank you, Sophie. That wraps our show. Thank you so much for coming. You know where to find us. Thank you.
Yes, thank you
and
so much
look at
for
the
coming.
Baby.
Thank
you, Ali. Look at the baby.
The future cannibals of the world.
Delicious.
Nom, nom. Bring that baby up here.
Yeah. Can we pass the baby around?
Down and up again.
Thank you, Ali. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much, Grub and Gargle.